Welcome, everyone, to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God and is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that's why we have Church at Home. The place to begin is in your home. And a lot of people don't understand it, but that's where the New Testament church actually began. They didn't have church buildings like we have today. They met in their homes. And they had Bible studies and went over the Word of God. And of course, after the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the growing as God added the numbers to the church through the works of the apostles, God being with them with the Spirit of God, doing miracles and wonders and things like that, the churches began to grow. But most of them still met in their homes. And your house is the perfect place to begin to understand the Word of God. And in your home is the perfect place because you have full control over your environment. Now, Church at Home, we've been going through a series on the seventh-day Sabbath. And there are so many accusations by so-called scholarly religionists that say that Jesus did away with the Sabbath. Well, we'll see the scriptures this time that they used to say that. We'll see what it really says, and then we will find out what would Jesus really have said if the Sabbath was changed from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. All other arguments notwithstanding, we'll delve into some of those. And let me remind you, please go to cbcg.org, and there we have a series of 12 in-depth sermons entitled Refuting Sunday Keeping. Now think about this for a minute. If Jesus would have done away with the Sabbath, remember, we've covered he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. We've already seen that he's lawgiver. And if he's lawgiver and he does away with his law, well, think about this for a minute. Let's ask a question. What is sin? Well, the Bible tells us sin is a transgression of the law or lawlessness or anti-law. Did Christ ever sin? No, he was without sin, correct? So therefore, he didn't do away anti-law with the Sabbath just on that, if you follow just pure scriptural logic on that. Now, let's look at it another way. If Jesus did that, what did he eliminate? Because I have a statement here written by this man in this book, Sunday Facts, Sabbath Fiction, Russell K. Tardo, and he says, in fact, the whole law of Moses has been rendered inoperable. If that's the case, there could be no sin. Why is that? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. Tells you what sin is. Transgressing the law is sin. The law tells you what sin is. Now let's take this another step further. All of this terrible logic that men use to justify their sins. If the law has been done away and there is no sin, why did Jesus come to die for our sins? If there is no sin. You ever thought of that? That means that by the definition of noted theologians who are respected in this Christian world that we see around us, that Christ died in vain. There's no need for it, because there's no sin. And if there's no sin, you don't need to repent. And if there is no sin, there's no law. then anything goes. And that makes Jesus the minister of lawlessness, does it not? I mean, just think what a lawless thing that would be to annul all of the laws of God. Now, let's come to John, the fifth chapter. Now, John, the fifth chapter becomes a very important chapter because this is the one that is claimed Jesus abolished, did away with, annulled, canceled the Sabbath. They say it's right there in the scripture. It's right there in the Greek. Really? John, the fifth chapter. I will just summarize the first part. Here is a man who had an infirmity for 38 years, and he was down by the pool of Siloam. And an angel would come and agitate the water periodically, and then the first one in the water would be healed. And so here's this man who had been there for years and years, and he was so crippled, he could hardly get down toward the water, let alone get in it. Someone else would get in there first. Bingo, they were healed. And so Jesus came up to him and said, "Do you desire to be made whole?" And he said, "Yes, but when I try to get down into the water, someone gets in there before me and is healed, and I can't be healed." He said, "I don't have anyone to put me in the water." Now let's come to verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bedroll, and walk." Notice how simple that is. Just like he said there in Mark, the third chapter that we've already covered, he told the man with the withered arm, "Stretch it out," and it was made whole. And then he looked around at all of the self-righteous Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes and asked them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil?" Now, he certainly didn't abolish the Sabbath with that proclamation, did he? No. But notice what happened. Immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bedroll like a sleeping bag. Now, that day was a Sabbath. Notice the Jews' reaction. Okay? Notice what the Jews said. Now, remember, as we covered, they didn't believe in Moses. From the writings, they claimed Moses and claimed to be his disciples, but they had their own traditions and laws which they substituted for God's and placed that around the laws and commandments of God and buried Moses under a whole heap of tradition. And Jesus said, "Full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." Now let me ask you a question. How heavy is a sleeping bag? Or a bedroll? What, 5 pounds? 10 pounds? You think that's a burden? Well, the Jews did. And you shouldn't carry anything on the Sabbath. So let's follow this account through the way that it should be. Verse 10. "For this reason the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'It's the Sabbath day. It is unlawful for you to take up your bedroll.'" That's the question. Was it lawful to take up the bedroll or not? Did it have anything to do with the Sabbath day? No, it occurred on the Sabbath day. Let's go on. And he said, "Well, the one who made me whole said to me, 'Take up your bedroll and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the one who said to you, 'Take up your bedroll and walk?'" Nothing like a little CSI, criminal scene investigation. "Yes, who is this?" "Jesus, Son of God." So the man, he didn't know, because Jesus moved away someplace else. Now let's see what happened here, because this becomes very interesting. So here he is carrying his bedroll on the Sabbath day in the temple area, walking around telling everyone, "Oh, I've had this disease for 38 years, and look, I'm whole. I'm whole. I'm walking. This is wonderful. Who did it?" "Well, I don't know. But he told me, 'Take up your bedroll and walk, and look, I can carry it and walk.'" Verse 14, after these things, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, Behold, you have been made whole. Sin no more. Uh-oh, there's that word sin. Sin is what? The transgression of the law. Think on that. Can people live without sinning? Yes, if they know what sin is, correct? What did sin in his life bring upon him? Sickness and illness and disease for 38 long years. Now, we're not told what sin it was that he did. Whether it was physical or spiritual, or whether it because someone did something to him, or whether it was emotional or mental or whatever, but it was still sin. He said, sin no more. That also tells us what? It was not a sin to carry the bedroll on the Sabbath, correct? That true? All right, let's go on. Sin no more so that something worse does not happen to you. You need to think about that in your life. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him whole. And for this cause the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Wonderful happy thought on the Sabbath day, isn't it? Ah, yes, who is this that healed this man and made him happy and whole? We can't stand that. No. We got to kill him. Is murder against the law of God? Of course it is. Well, how then can Tardo say that this episode that Jesus did in healing this man eliminated all the law of Moses? You ought to hear what he says about Sabbath keepers. You're a Sabbath keeper. You're weak in the faith. Truth is, it takes a lot of faith to keep the Sabbath. Doesn't take any faith to keep Sunday. You just go to any church you want to. All right, let's follow the account along here a little bit more. They sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Oh, what an awful thing that was to do. Heal a man who had been infirm for 38 years. These Jewish leaders, the religious fraud, sanctimonious pretenders, they would rather see that man suffering in sickness and illness for another 38 years than to see him healed on the Sabbath and, oh, of all the unthinkable things, carry his bedroll. He's breaking our traditions. You know, we are God's policemen. But Jesus said to them, and they couldn't understand this, My Father is working until now, and I work. What kind of work did Jesus do on the Sabbath day? Did he have a pickaxe and a shovel? No. What was the work that he was doing? A spiritual work of healing. Is it good to do spiritual work on the Sabbath? That's what the Sabbath is for, spiritual work, not physical work. And he said, My Father is working also. Why? Because the Father is giving the power and the strength and the spirit to Jesus to do these things. And furthermore, stop and think the bigger picture. Does not God work every day in holding up the universe? He doesn't have to, go out and personally do it. He's created laws that keep it all in motion. You know, on the Sabbath day, the earth doesn't stop spinning. Whoop! Sabbath day, time out, everybody. No more spin. Then some will say, well, how can I figure out how the Sabbath would be? There's no sunset over here. And others on the other side of the earth would say, man, this is a long night. See? You see the ridiculousness of it, right? You see how crazy men get. Yet so self-righteous and pompous, ready to execute someone in the name of God. Now, that sounds a little like the Inquisitions of the Roman Catholic Church in the past, yes? Oh, but they only killed only 200,000 people when the record is well over 20 or 30 million people. Verse 18, here is the verse that he claims that Jesus abolished the Sabbath and the whole of the law of God. So then, on account of this saying, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, not only because he had loosed the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Oh, my, what a crime! Now, Tardo claims that the word luo in the Greek means loose, and it does. But did he loose the Sabbath, or did he loose a law of the Jews which claimed it was unlawful for him to carry his bedroll? Now, who did the accusing? The Jews did. They accused him of loosing the Sabbath, which he did not do. He loosed that one little law of Judaism. So for someone to go to this verse and say, he loosed the Sabbath, abolished it forever. Now, another faulty reasoning that they have here is that they leave off the last part of this verse, where Jesus called God his Father. Huh, I wonder if Russell Cardo, when he prays, says, our Father in heaven? Huh. You see the hypocrisy and stupidity in that kind of thinking? Obviously, that is not true. That is a lie. That is a misinterpretation. That is a misuse of the Greek. That is not understanding the context in which this is given. Now, let's ask a question. Let's just suppose. Suppose that Jesus really indeed did abolish the Sabbath. Won't say the rest of the law. We'll just focus on the Sabbath because that's what this series is all about. How would he have said it? What would be the words necessary that would have to be in the New Testament to eliminate the Sabbath day as the day of worship and transfer it to the first day of the week? All right, let's come back to Matthew 5. We'll learn a little lesson. Now, here's the thing to do while we're turning back here to Matthew 5. It's very important to understand. And you need to realize this. Jesus came not to abolish, but to fulfill. He came not to enforce the standard of the letter of the law, but to teach the spirit of the law and how we are to keep the commandments of God. So in fulfilling, Jesus came to complete the law. Now, when you complete the law, does that mean you do away with it? If you come to fill it to its full, does that mean it is abolished? All right, let's read it here. We'll come back here many times, Matthew 5 and verse 17, because there are some people that just never really, really, really get the point, and yet they are the religionists, aren't they? Yes. Yet they are the experts and are supposed to know. Yes. But what happens? Just like I was talking to a man the other day. He says, in my Protestant church, they go along and preach everything. When it comes to the Sabbath, they do a hopscotch right over it. Verse 17, Jesus said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish but fulfill. For truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law until everything has been fulfilled. Question, is heaven and earth still here? Yes, indeed. Are the laws of God still here? Yes, indeed. Verse 19, therefore, whoever shall break one of these least commandments, which they think the Sabbath is the least commandment, and shall teach men so, which they do every Sunday, and every day someone goes to church on Sunday, every Sunday, that is sin. Oh, but they're such nice people. They may be, but they're deceived, and they are sinning. Notice, and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall practice and teach them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now let's see how Jesus magnified the law, the prophecy back in Isaiah, that he shall magnify the law and make it glorious. Or as the King James says, honorable. All right? Let's look at one. Let's take one here, hatred. This is not even a law. You're not to hate, because that's the same as murder. Now, is that more binding than the law which says you shall not murder? Of course it is, because it's getting at the root of murder, hatred. Did the religious leaders back there in John the 5th chapter, did they want to kill Jesus? Was that not in their thoughts? Was that not sin? Of course. Let's see what he says about adultery. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those in ancient times, you shall not commit adultery, but I, the Son of God manifested in the flesh, the creator of all mankind, now here to teach people as a human being, because everyone wants to know, well, if God came down and talked to me, I'd surely listen to him, wouldn't I? Well, Jesus did. And he came into flesh. Not the mighty terror that was at Mount Sinai, where the children of Israel said, oh, we can't stand that any longer. Came into flesh. But I say to you, everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Did that raise the level and standard of the commandment? You shall not commit adultery. Murder, adultery, raised to a higher standard? Yes. Yes, indeed. How would Jesus have said such an important thing to change something from the very creation of the world, to eliminate it, to abolish it, and to transfer it to the day of the sun god, an idol which God said, you shall not bow down to? How would Jesus have to phrase it to let everyone know for sure, crystal clear, without any equivocation at all? Here's what we would have to find in the New Testament. You've heard that it was said in ancient times, you shall keep the Sabbath day holy. But I say to you, you shall keep the first day of the week holy. Do you find that anywhere in the Bible? Now, you find some vague scriptures that some people refer to, but just like we find in this booklet, you need to write for this one, and you need to write for the other booklet that we have also that we're doing on the Sabbath series, which day is the true Christian Sabbath, the true Lord's Day. This one here will tell you that the Catholics who instituted the Sunday keeping, and actually began shortly after the death of the Apostle John, that in all of the places which talk about the first day of the week in the New Testament, that it has absolutely nothing to do with Sunday keeping. Remember, for how many centuries was that evil, terrible Catholic Church, which it is, an enemy of the Protestants, of whom they're now embracing and saying, oh, this is so wonderful and nice. Let's have an ecumenical love fest. And furthermore, it was Cardinal Gibbon, the Cardinal of Baltimore, in 1893, who for four Sabbaths in a row published this in the Catholic Mirror. Now, you need to read this. because you go back in history, and from 1893 to this day, Protestantism has been on a decline, and now it's in an absolute nosedive to the bottom of the abyss because they've rejected the Holy Sabbath of God. Isn't that amazing? You need to think about that. You need to examine the Word of God. You need to examine why you do the things that you do. Prove it by the Word of God. Don't believe me, believe your Bible, but you better make sure you have a Bible that is a good translation. I'll have to give a series of sermons on the terrible translations of the modern Bibles today. That's why we have produced the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, faithful to the Hebrew, faithful to the Greek, so that people can know and understand. Now's the time. We're in crisis mode. We can't sit around and play patties and be nicey and have warm, fuzzy feelings while the world is falling down behind us and all around us. And the causes of it are spiritual. And the way you return to God is to begin keeping the Sabbath and begin worshiping the true God the Father in Jesus Christ as our high priest at the right hand of God. And it is through him alone that we have salvation. And through the Word of God alone that we have salvation. Now, if you want to be religious and just play pretend and keep going to Sunday, will you go ahead and do that? But the day is going to come when the resurrection is going to be there. And as Jesus said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is practicing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you want to practice the will of God? It's all in the Scriptures. So this is why church at home. These are words you're not going to hear if you go to a Sunday-keeping church. And that's because they have rejected the truth. And what you hear in church at home will only be the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the history behind all of these terrible practices and things that men have done in the name of Jesus Christ. Now's the time that we change our lives. You begin in your home. Once again, thank you for having me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and download those 12 sermons on refuting Sunday keeping. It will be an eye-opener. Now, those sermons will be a lot longer than church at home. They'll be an hour and a half long, but you see, to understand the truth, getting away from all the confusion of men takes a whole lot of work to do today. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, so long, everyone.